I wanted to share my experience of gathering together a whole bunch of data that was put together by other people and putting it into a unified resource and the workflow that we developed to support that. There we go. The particular example is harvested plants. All around the world, people are cutting down plants for science. This is bad. We should stop it by compiling all the data into a great resource. The reason they're doing that, it's not bad, it's fine. The reason they're doing that is that they might want to estimate the amount of carbon in a forest or the growth of plants or so forth. So you might chop down 8 trees of different sizes, fit a regression line linking the diameter of the stem to the total amount of carbon, use that fitted line to then predict what the biomass is of a whole bunch of trees in the whole forest. People have been doing this all around the world. So we put all this data together into a single unified database, which we call the Biomass Anemometry Database, or BAD for short. There's 176 different studies, 20,000 different plants, 650 different plant species, small fraction of the world's vegetation, but by far the biggest biggest data of that type. It's not just biomass, there's a whole lot of different variables we collected depending on what was available. We had some core ones, but you can see there's a bunch which are covered pretty well, and then some which are not covered so well. Okay, now why did I do this? Well, the first reason is I really wanted the data myself. I'm a plant ecologist, I model ecosystem dynamics. One of my models deals with plants growing, and a really key part of that is how much energy gets invested in growing the plant taller versus putting on more leaf area. And I had some data from the Appalachian Mountains, 10 species, narrow size range, that's what's in orange there. When I fitted a line to that and extended it across the size range that I needed to grow plants from small little seedlings up to big trees, it didn't look so good for smaller plants. And as you can see, now this is overlaid against all the data from the whole database, and you can see it wasn't so good. So now I can fit a whole lot of lines, a whole lot of species. I'm happy. Also, Rich Fitzjohn and I, Rich was in Sydney at the time, wanted to experiment with a new workflow for putting together compiled databases like this. And the problem was we'd seen a lot of other people put together trait compilations or other data compilations. The main workflow involved a lot of cut and paste, Excel spreadsheets, and emailing around different versions in a very sort of closed, in the dark kind of scenario. And, you know, this was good if it worked, but often even the people putting it together would encounter problems where they basically wanted to go back and undo some of what they've done, take out a particular data set, or figure out what transformation was used, and that information had basically been lost. So we thought, well, 2015, we can do better than that. We'll take the tools of not only R, but GitHub and other software development tools and see how they work in this context of compiling data sets and unifying data sets. And it's a general problem for science because the way science funding works, unless you're building big particle accelerators, is typically you get funded for small chunks of data collection. People get funded in their PhDs or a particular project or a clinical trial to collect some data, and it appears, with the paper, if you're lucky. Then if we're going to have big data, it comes from putting all these bits together. Sounds easy, but of course it's other people's data. Everyone's used different units, different names, they've laid out their spreadsheets in different sorts of ways, and so there's really a need for a workflow to sort of streamline this process and get things into a unified resource. So the general challenges of what we did, which I think could apply to a number of different case studies in a whole range of areas, is first of all, harmonizing a whole lot of fragments which come from different sources into one unified resource, in this case, the Biomass Anemometry Database. Then distributing that resource so that people can use it, and distributing it in a way which is hopefully free, but also reliable. And then reproducing the reports which use a particular version, but also potentially releasing new versions of the data set and being able to reproduce both the versions of the data themselves as well as the reports which depend on different data sets. right, so I'll talk through those three challenges and how we solved each of them, and of course R being central to all of this. The first one is harmonizing the data sets. The important thing here was for us, from a more strategic point of view, was to approach all the people we wanted to work with and start with the idea of building an open source data set. Sometimes this is a bit surprising in science to people that we would make all the data open. I got a really great response, and I think that's part of the reason is I approached people in the outset and said, we'd like to make an open data resource, do you want to be part of it? Rather than sort of coming at a later date and saying, hey, you know that data you gave to me, we're going to release it and it's all going to be open. That sometimes doesn't go down so well. Second is that everything from the beginning with the raw data files to the end product is scripted, meaning in R in one way or another. And this is important because along the way we have to make all sorts of decisions about what we're going to do with the data, and you might disagree with that and want to do something else. We might change our minds down the track. If everything's scripted, it's easy to, it's transparent, it's easy to extend. So rebuilding the data set from scratch is as easy as cloning the repo, loading R, and running that one line, and it'll combine all the fragments into a single resource. I'll talk about that package remake in a little bit. And so 176 different studies, a key for us was to get them into a common processing pipeline and then apply a series of sort of standardized operations, changing units, changing variable names, various other sorts of operations, combining it all together. And a key bit there was to, for each data set, to get it into a CSV that we can handle and then develop this other CSV which basically describes what's in the data set. The names that the original authors gave it, the units that the original authors gave it, and then how that matches onto a variable in our data set. And of course that elsewhere has defined units. And so once we had that table, we could then go through a sort of standard set of processes of transforming names and transforming units and so forth. I don't need to tell this audience about the importance of version control, but what I will say is that it works great for this sort of data handling as well. If you're not dealing with extremely big data, in this case we're not because people are chopping down trees by hand, then GitHub handles changes in CSV files really nicely, and occasionally we would have to change something in the original data files. For example, in this, the original author has provided us an update on their data set, and we've got a whole lot of new columns that weren't originally present. We can see in the commit history exactly what changed, and also in the processing we might change what unit was recorded for a particular variable or something like that. And then, of course, because we're likely to break things along the way as well, we put continuous integration into this as well, so that every time we made changes and updated things, we'd know if we broke something and we could go back pretty soon and fix it. The final important step in the harmonizing was to send out standardized reports to all our collaborators. So there was 96 different people contributing to this. We used Nitto to generate a standardized report for every study which described all the metadata and then plotted their data against all the other data in the database. And this pairwise plotting is really great for identifying errors. So here's an example. The initial plot, when we first plotted it and then when we cleaned it up, it was just a unit problem. It could have been our typing problem. It could have been them getting it wrong in the paper, recording it wrong in their data set. All of these happen. If you just looked at one variable, it would look like it sat beautifully in the middle of the cloud. Looking at two variables, it's very obvious there's something wrong. We send a report with a few problems and a few questions and say, what's going on? All right, so we have a data set. Of course, one being scientists, we want to publish a paper. That's really important for us. But if you know science, you'll know that the paper publishing sort of architecture and infrastructure doesn't really allow for much sophistication in data distribution. There's a single data set that gets distributed. So there's one with this paper. But we're going to then find mistakes and update it, and the question is, how do we then distribute those updates and incorporate those into publications as well? And we of course want the old publication to be able to get access to the old version, new publication access to the new version. And the way we did this was to distribute the data as a package. And so the package doesn't actually contain the data itself, it contains instructions for fetching the data from a server. And so when you load the library bad.data, it's very good data, the first thing that happens is you can ask what versions are available. We'll actually query the website and say which versions are available. If I happen to have added a new one, then you'll see a new one. And then you can just load different versions directly into R. The first time you call one of these, it will fetch the data set and cache it on your computer in one of those hidden folders somewhere. And so next time you call it, it will instantly load. The way we've built that package, bad.data, is by piggybacking on the back of another package designed to do exactly this, which is called DataStore by Rich Fitzjohn, and it fetches releases from GitHub. So as we build our combined data set, we upload it to GitHub as a release, exactly like you would a program version, numbered and everything, and then DataStore will just go and query the GitHub releases and ask what versions are available, and it's literally about 20 lines of code to customize a data store into a repo for a particular GitHub releases stream. Okay, finally, reproducing. We want to reproduce both this original resources and the papers themselves. I'm just going to talk about the process of reproducing this, and in particular the workflow where we've set everything up to rebuild from source regularly. And as we're working, we're going to pay a cost in transforming all these data sets into some standardized format every time we run it. The way we solve that is by using the package I mentioned earlier called Remake. And what it does is it caches intermediates, and so it makes for a really seamless workflow. Remake, there's a target, in this case bad, which has a lot of dependencies, being all the data sets from different people that then get combined together. The first time you call this, it will build each of those dependencies. The next time you call it, it'll be done instantly because nothing has changed. A bit like make senses file timestamps, this caches all the inputs and the functions and looks to see if anything in the dependency stream has changed. Then we might update something for this data set, and next time we call it, we'll just build that and the final product. And so using this, we can actually iterate over our workflow really quickly. Instead of rebuilding the whole thing, we just let Remake detect what needs to be rebuilt, and you go from sort of 20 seconds per iteration down to 2 seconds or 1 second. Thanks very much to my collaborators, in particular Rich, who developed some of the packages which made all this possible, Remco, Diego, and Masai for helping collate the data, all these people for contributing data, and then just to wrap up, I'll leave you with these conclusions. If you want to know more about trees and this particular database, we have a paper. If you want to know more about the blog, more about this workflow, we've written that up in a blog post. And then if you want to reconstruct our database, it's all there. The package that we use, Remake, I now use that in all my analyses because of that beautiful caching intermediate, so I highly recommend it. And if you want to access the data, bad.data is the way to go. Thanks.
Questions?
So you use Git to fix mistakes in data before you change it. Do you do any annotation of your commits? So you can go back and see statistics of what kind of mistakes there are.
Yeah, so I wish, yes we do. I mean, this Git repo has 1,000 commits. Lots of small little changes here and there, and we annotate them hopefully well.
Is it a formal annotation or is it
not? No, it's not a formal annotation. And one of the things that happened in the development of this was as we were going, we went from having none of the support packages to having support packages and experimenting with the format and things like that. I would love to be able to rerun the compilation from beginning to end using a standardized kind of thing and see how the data set changed, but because we were changing our methods as we went, But if you have a suggestion for a formal way to annotate it, I'd like to know. Also, change logs for the updated data sets. I'm currently wondering how to best document what's changed between the different versions.
Any questions? I like the fact very much that you try to reproduce, make reproducible research in your field so much easier. I was a bit disappointed. All the nice packages you mentioned are not on CRAN.
No.
So they are not reproducible. They're just what they are at the moment. You should really make sure the packages get on CRAN. And then you need versions of packages for reproducible research. You need the versions of the packages at the time, too,
yep.
Right?
Good point.
So is your, do you think your methodology and NICE workflow is agnostic to the kind of data?
No, that's a great question. I mean, in general, the ideas of find a pipeline and so forth would work. But we were dealing with data which mostly appeared as tabular data, often as an Excel spreadsheet, but it was not very much manual manipulation from us to get it from an Excel spreadsheet into a CSV tabular data frame. So in that sense, it's the easy case.
Okay, but that's good, actually. So I think that's pretty much, that's somewhat agnostic, right? So as long as you have tabular data in CSVs, you can basically, anyone can basically use your nice packages and workflow.
Yeah.
And everything. So that's
yeah. And we're doing a similar sort of thing now with another data compilation, same ideas,
yeah.
Different data sets.
Any other questions? And let's thank Daniel one more
time. Thank you.